Well, we'll call our advisory group to order. Any comments or issues with the minutes? I read through them, I thought they were right on. So, good, so we'll consider that adopted by everybody. Committee reports. So I know we've been starting to work a little bit in separate little working groups. Dan, do you want to start with the outreach group?
Sure. I was talking with the folks over in Skagit Valley, three different people who went through that change of format over there, and also reading quite a few things and talked to a few people up in Bellingham. But basically in Skagit Valley, where do you start with this? Jeff Sargent is the new Skagit County Administrator. He's brand new to the whole system up there, been here a couple of years, came up from Phoenix. When he was down in Phoenix, he was writing new protocol nationwide for EMS, fire districts, joining together, et cetera. That's who he's working on down there. When he came here, according to Jeff, the problem that was going on at Skagit is the medics were working for the hospital. They were working under the jurisdiction of the ER room. The medics would actually work and help double duty in ER, but they were under the umbrella of the hospital district.
So they were employees of the hospital district.
Correct. And it was managed, the money came through the county, Skagit County. What happened was the county commissioners were getting a little too nervous about this being under the hospital, and they were concerned about their liability and risk. Hospital was also worried about their risk. What they ended up doing is actually creating a new board between the commissioners and the EMS medic system for further protection of liability and risk. A couple people I've talked to, they all said the very same thing over there. One of the driving forces was liability and risk to the hospital, and then the county commissioners. So they kind of hastily set this thing up. Some people over there think they went too quickly, didn't look at all the avenues and research everything, but basically they set this up so starting January 1st, 2019, the medics have been handed back to four cities in Skagit County. The upper Skagit River is going to be, it's still privately owned up there. They're going to work under the jurisdiction of the fire departments and work under the umbrella of fire in all those four cities. The county is going to collect the EMS levy still and distribute the money to everybody, including the private people up Skagit River. The benefit to all this is all
the private and not-for-profit, do you know?
I think it's not-for-profit.
Do you know who it is?
I don't. I could find out.
Be interesting.
It would be with tax cut dollars. Yeah. I was wondering how, I mean, they could still bid on it, could still be a for-profit entity, but I'm just curious how Skagit has it set up.
Right. Coincidentally, Jeff Sargent has worked with RFA type systems. I mean, his big goal is to eventually be working all together, Skagit County, maybe even with Whatcom County, but in the future he foresees the most efficient system being all these different entities working together like we discussed working in the county. He said it's getting to be a matter of simple numbers and economics to make this work, plus being able to trade services and equipment and back and forth as needed. He said that's going to take a while to get there, but that's their future goal. He says that's the way they're seeing it around the country going. That's what they were doing back in Phoenix area, Arizona. I talked also with Dean Shelton, who's the, I think some people might have met him. He's the union rep for the paramedics out here. He's been a paramedic for 25 years. He's also been a fire commissioner for 18 years. But he's a union rep. He's representing our medics and also the Orcas medics over there. He's working on the labor and management side. And he knows our system out here, and he knows how obviously it's a very unique system. We're isolated, small population. You still need minimum number of medics, et cetera, to make this work. He's not that happy. He doesn't think going under fire is the best thing in the world, even though he's worked as a fire commissioner. In talking with him and in trying to see what's driving that, his fear is that medics might lose some of their training. If a paramedic has to also cross-train, and as they say in the business, go out and paint hydrants, or learn how to drag hose, or this and that, they might lose valuable time for maintaining certification and continuing education. Everybody else I've talked to said that's not a problem. They're not seeing that. Everybody else I've talked to says that medics who are working under fire are rarely doing cross-training for fire. They're maintaining their certification. There's plenty of time to maintain those skills. You know, so that was the only untoward, argument that I heard against coming under fire in these areas. Dave Zoller is somebody who's a paramedic. He worked at Skagit for 20-some years, and he's also a paramedic fireman over on Orcas. He saw this coming down over there, working in the hospital as a paramedic. But the docs themselves were concerned about liability and risk with the medics being directly under them. And he says that's where everybody's going. He's retired from Skagit. He's still working part-time on Orcas. Is very happy with the way that system's working over there. And somebody who's worked on the mainland for that long time has some good experience, what's working and what's not working. But in a nutshell, everybody I was talking to was saying that going under fire is the wave of the future. It's much more efficient. It's what everybody's doing. It's reducing risk and liabilities to other people. And it's providing for better training. In Skagit Valley, as an example there, all the training is coordinated for the entire county through one entity, through the county. So everybody's learning the same skills. You know, they've got the same equipment, they've got the same protocol, et cetera, which is beneficial healthcare to the people that you're providing health to.
Dan, did anybody have any comments about improved service? I mean, I think it's just sort of inherent in some of the efficiencies that are being gained and maybe to some extent some of the training that's being done. Mm-hmm. But did anybody specifically talk about wanting to improve service, you know, to their constituents?
That's with Jeff Sargent, that's a big deal. It's improved service, improved response time. Those things are important. They don't have the numbers out. To show that that's the case yet.
Right.
The one thing Jeff talked about is they're looking at a $500,000 loss, unanticipated, next year in the entire county as a result of moving this out. He said they're going to be losing a few personnel, that they're not happy with it. When he said there's going to be a $500,000 net loss, he wasn't very specific about that. I asked him again about a follow-up call, and he says, it's a little complicated, whatever that means. But
is that kind of a one-time transition thing, or is that over time costing that much more?
No, it sounded like a next year one-time thing.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the idea.
So just moving assets
yeah,
around.
Yeah, because that's kind of the way I read it, yeah, what I saw on the subject, too, yeah. Is that they thought that was going to be a one-time bump.
Yeah, that was one-time, just a one-year thing once it was set up.
Yeah.
I went through hospital to fire when I was paramedic director.
Okay.
In Kirkland, and we went over to Redmond.
Uh-huh.
The hospital wanted to get rid of their contract through the county, through King, because one, liability, and two, the cultures don't match.
Right.
Hospital and paramedics and fire. Hospital is, for lack of a better term, touchy-feely. The other guys are paramilitary.
Mm-hmm.
And we experienced two things. One, the first year, $150,000 just shifting things around and doing this and doing that. We lost one provider in the first 2 years. And it really took about 4 years to make the cultural change when everyone was busy. We lost one secretary in the move. But as it turns out at the other end, and I was the director for those 7 years, when two and then five, when we switched, our response times were better. Mm-hmm. My teams were happier. But it took about 3 or 4 years for me to start to feel happier. But it takes time.
Yeah.
And the other nice thing was one spare truck, three fire districts. The truck doesn't go down that often, so you can have three trucks waiting to be the spare and something like that. Mm-hmm. So you can actually end up saving money, but not in the first year. Mm-hmm. It happened. Yeah. But the training did go off a bit because training from the hospital had a lot more docs willing to train. Once we moved over to fire, they didn't want to move over and do the training, so I ended up doing a lot of training. To sort of factor that in, was the training issue. The other issue was, I was concerned about was the dilution of the training at a high level. But what it gained on the other side was emergency preparedness, closer to the environment they were in, the fire, because the hospital was sort of over in the corner of the district. The fire department was in the middle, you know, and just more people. Mm-hmm. That's been my experience. And although I didn't like it going in, and I was one of the few that took a couple of years to get used to it, at the other end, I thought it was
worth
the
work. Yeah. Now, did they have, I know it used to be in Bellingham that medics were housed and under the umbrella of the fire. The paramedics, all their continuing education was at the hospital in a separate room. You know, Dr. Wayne out there, or Ron Richardson.
I've known Marvin since 1968.
Yeah. So he would, the paramedics would go to the hospital under the, you know, on the umbrella of the doctor, but he was given paramedic training, period. Not ER training issues. Yeah. Is that what you were seeing down there?
Well, I took the training and did it.
Okay.
In a room at Station 11.
Yep.
Probably more so because my buddy had the restaurant across the street. And it's easy for me to go do it. I mean, and the hospital just harder to get rooms.
Right.
But the hospital wasn't big enough to do what it was doing anyway. Which is going to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting, Dan. I mean, relative to the comment about concern about continuing education and that time balance, it just seems that the workload issue would help drive and help separate out the training needs. I don't know that that's naturally a conflict. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's something that could be worked out. I don't see that as being mutually exclusive of each other.
I think it depends if you look at it as a zero-sum game where every hour you spend training is either going to be spent on this or on that. You only have so many hours.
Right.
So if I spend 12 hours in training this month, then I spend two on fire training because I got to go learn to cut fire line to be a wildland firefighter. But that's 2 hours I don't spend in EMS training. I don't think it works that way in reality, but you would have to be concerned that that's what the problem is.
Sure, I mean, I think in the totality of hours, but I just don't see it being that big of a barrier, but I could see it being a concern and something to be addressed.
Because I don't know what the standards are now, but it used to be you have X amount of IVs per month, X amount of innovations per month. They still have to do that, and if they don't...
No, it's per year.
It's per year.
12 IVs. If you're a senior paramedic, 12 IVs.
12 per year now?
Yeah, 12 per year, and for intubations. In King County, it's 12.
Okay.
12 intubations.
And if you don't get them in the field, they need to get surgery.
St. Joe's.
So Bellingham apparently use cadavers at the fire department. Without recognition of the family.
Well, the
they may do simulation or
costing
actual
OR. $15 million.
The other issues, their medics over there are getting 7 to 9 calls a day. in Skagit, and that's just, those are all ALS calls. Bellingham's in the neighborhood of, I think, 6 minimum ALS calls per day, per unit. And we're roughly at 1 per day. Roughly 400 ALS calls a year, right, or something.
Yeah,
it's a little 1.8 to 2.1
a month. And that affects continuing education and training.
Good. And then just to add in on the outreach committee, I've got a call scheduled with Dave Ralston from South Whatcom on Friday at 3:00. So if anybody wants to join in, we could set it up as a conference call, or we could if anybody's interested, we could set it up.
So. Largely on the subject of RFAs, I assume.
Sorry, say again?
On the subject of RFAs.
Yes.
I assume.
Yes.
No.
That's Friday at 3:00?
Yes.
I might be interested in that.
Okay, let's chat afterwards. Okay. And
to assemble an RFA, or
general discussion about his experience.
He's pretty much a cheerleader for RFAs, so if you want to hear from somebody who's going to want to talk to you about an RFA, he's your man.
Yeah, and Dave said that he could set up a conference line for us, so if others are interested.
Yeah, to call into.
I'll just work it out with him, and I'll just post the number, and then if you're interested, you can dial in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually spoke to folks as well.
Yeah,
and so. I spoke with Bob Eastman. He's with Snohomish One, and they did like an RFA with Linwood and some other districts down there, and then with Dennis Ben out of South Beach, and that's Westport area. Kind of some key takeaways for me from both of them was they both said your biggest challenge or issues are going to be your personnel issues going in. When you do any kind of merger or combination. Down there in the South Beach area on day one, they lost 10 to 12 members. According to Dennis, it was folks that weren't the top quality
stellar individuals.
Yeah. So in some ways, it's actually a blessing, it sounds like. Down there sounds like really interesting. They had, sounds like, 4 fire districts and a third-party EMS provider that were providing services. It was a strange mix down there, and EMS would bill the fire districts per year based on call volume, and it was a real mess with far as levies go. So it sounded like each of the fire districts had a fire and then a separate EMS, and then sometimes they have to run a special EMS to get enough money to pay EMS their bill.
Billing recovery would be a nightmare, right?
Yeah, I mean they would do that, really?
Wow. Yeah, it's,
what a mess.
And so now it's one big combined thing, and the number of levies that they have to run is significantly less. They're seeing immediate benefits around reducing redundancies across the board. He's all for merging and combining. He says, in his opinion, it's been nothing but really good for that area. And it was done for money. It was money reasons why it was done.
It's all done for money. It's an M&A.
Yeah.
And let's face it, it's synergies of size.
Yeah. And he's more than happy to come up and talk to us about it if we want to or whatnot. As far as Bob goes, he basically had reiterated what we've already heard from folks here. He basically says you have to have your electeds on board. If they're not all on board, just forget about it. He goes, because if they're not, it's not going to go. You need to have a champion. You need somebody who is going to be out in front of it. He suggested if we're going to make a recommendation that they look at going through with a merger, that we also recommend a process for them such that they're not doing it board to board and do it as a working group where it's 2 hospital district commissioners and 1 fire commissioner where they can kind of work offline and then come back with the issues. He also suggested interlocal agreements to transfer a variety of stuff, and he sent me some examples to that, and I'll get those sent out to all you guys so you can see those. And so they've done it with larger jurisdictions down there, transferring property and all kinds of equipment. I mean, the equipment list on the one was made ours look like nothing.
Right.
And again, the issues around personnel, he goes, those are very predictable challenges. You're going to have personality conflicts and issues, and you're going to have the naysayers, and that's where you need that champion, and you need all the electeds on board, and you need to have a shared vision going forward. He basically said, and he's a firefighter paramedic, and to the issue of lack of training, lack of, he goes, you know, and he's saying, majority of the calls now are medical related. He thinks the quality of care is actually not decreased doing fire EMS. He thinks that, in his opinion, they're probably increased. And you know, he's been
because
paramedic.
Of role reversals. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, fire is diminishing.
Yep,
medicine is increasing. Yep. It's role reversals.
I mean, he's been doing it for 27 years.
The IMF is going to change its name at some point.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, you know what? And when you look at the real, I mean, and God bless that it's gone fire. Actually, I don't think it is. I think in the urban areas, it's really changing, and we're going to see healthcare and this immensely change is like what the huge system out on Long Island and North Wells doing, where they're actually, the hospitals are rehiring back all their paramedics and so forth. And what they're doing is because they're an insurance product as well as having over 100 hospitals. Basically what they're telling all their participants is stop calling 911 anymore. Don't call it. Call us. We're actually a secondary PSAP. We're gonna manage your health because most of the time you don't even need to go to the emergency department. If we can't deal with you over the phone, we're going to send our paramedics out. They're going to be the eyes of the doctor to tell you what you're going to do. So a child with a bad earache or something, if they can't do it over, they're going to come out. They're going to assess it. The doctor's going to prescribe. Then our mobile pharmacy lab is going to come to your house within 45 minutes, give you all the medicine. So with the child, you never leave your home. And they're doing it now. So the whole healthcare is going to change. I'll never hit this island, but the whole healthcare is going to change. But all that an RFA is an M&A that gives size and scale to whatever. And it just housed underneath this. And that's where I think that finance is going to drive. If we can come up with financial, that's what's going to drive the boat.
That's what they both said. That's what's going on in Linwood. In that area, it's the same thing. It was finance related. He also gave me a name of a couple of attorneys that have worked on combining districts, and he said they were more. One was from Bellingham, a Rich Davis, and then a Brian Schneer or something from.
Well, that's your attorney.
That's your attorney.
Rich Davis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Jim Lexicka and Davis.
No, we'll take several names.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
I should backtrack a second. This Jeff Sargent talked about the, doesn't know how it would work out here, but he did talk about separating ALS and BLS again. Boy, how you can put everybody under fire, how are you going to do that? That gets somewhat complicated.
Well, what you would do if you're going to do that, and this is my opinion, is BLS would be under fire, ALS would be through your emergency room.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And thus the hospitals and paramedics. I mean, that's exactly what I was saying, and that was exactly what they would do, is so that the cleanup role is your BLS transport, but the ALS is making the pre-physician decisions out there, which can work within a hospital frame.
I think there's a question of scale here that makes that a real problem, though. I mean, it could work in Skagit County, maybe.
Right.
It certainly would work in Snohomish County. I'm not convinced this island is going to do that. Anyway, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you, George.
Yeah. That's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
And there's only one hospital, which then takes the frame outside of what, if you're looking at a county team and get synergies of a county, are now not going to be in the same framework.
Right. All right, well, good report. Thank you. And then legal, George has started work. I've left him adrift, so I've got...
No problem. I was out of town, too, so it's nothing like that. But I took the problem and broke it down. I agree kind of with something that I just heard Mark say, which was you got to give them the process to the electeds because you know, they're not going to want to hash all this out. And so I took that approach and said, what is the process? And what are the questions that were along the way? Because it gets really mechanical sometimes when you get down to doing it. And So I did it chronologically, thinking that what we kind of talked about and agreed to last time, I think, is annex the town and then increase the EMS levy, or the fire levy, and abandon the EMS levy, which is basically stepping into the process by which fire becomes responsible for everything. And of course, there's an interlocal agreement to transfer whatever assets need to be transferred, but that's secondary to the election. The process I started with was, first step is annex the town. So I said, what's it take to annex the town into the fire district and make sure we have all the questions on the table? It's really much simpler than any of the other questions, really, because it just takes both the town of Friday Harbor has to vote and the fire district residents have to vote to do that annexation, as if it's a merger, so to speak. And the fire district board has to pass a resolution calling for such an election and agreeing that it's a good idea and getting it on the ballot. And then the town council, because it's the town, has to pass an ordinance that says the same thing. So I stole a couple from an example that I found online, which was off of the MRC website, which was Wenatchee's merger into the Chelan County Fire District 1. And did a search and replace, which took 10 minutes, and made it look like us. Mm-hmm. And I circulated that to everybody if you had a chance to look at that. It's about as simple as that. We can ask Rich or whoever it is that we ask. Yeah, either him or an MRC guy. Did I miss anything? But it seems like that's pretty straightforward. So I think we feed both the town council and the fire district commissioners exactly a playbook for what they need to do to make this happen. If they agree that it's a good idea, then they don't have to do too much more thinking, except get their lawyers to do the wordsmithing on those kinds of documents. The language of the ballot measures that are required, the two propositions that go on the ballot, it's really pretty simple. That language is pretty well understood. And I gave you samples of that. So I think once that process is done, and it doesn't have to be at the same time as an election to change the levy. It might be a lot easier if it wasn't, because they can merge regardless of whether EMS changes where it lives. So it could be confusing. Or you could do it at once if you think that the message is clearer to the public that way. That's something that we ought to be discussing.
And because I was thinking, so what happens if step one goes forward and step two doesn't? Then
you still have fire district merged with the town. It's not a problem.
It's not, except that the financial return might only be able to be demonstrated on a reduction of total cost by consolidating the EMS, because as the town indicated, they're not giving back the general fund dollars.
Well, not all of it.
Yeah. Right. So, the bottom line says
it would
that
potentially cost the residents of the town of Friday Harbor a bit more in levy.
Right.
Because they would be paying the fire district levy out of their property tax instead of the town just paying for it out of the contract that they have.
But if there was a reduction in their EMS total, could be an offsetting to come back and say that if by consolidation there is a value of dollars that are recognized and that is fed back to the community, the offsetting what might cost them more on A is offset by B as long as they dovetail together. They would be better apart or together.
Rick, that might be just a more of a political question for the council ultimately, because they'll have to decide what they think may be palatable, to the town's ratepayers, frankly. I mean, so there could be an argument made, and it gets to your point, George. I mean, I think one of the things, I certainly feel very strongly about it, that anything going forward, I think we have to have a big umbrella message about what the objective of all of this really is. And really, it's about providing our community with a level of service, the most appropriate level of service at the most affordable rate we can find. That's really kind of our why we should be even having the discussion, right? And if we could frame it in that context, then everything we're doing, nobody's ever going, wait a minute, I voted 2 years ago to do something. Now I'm doing this. Why am I doing this when this didn't happen? And I don't understand.
Right.
Well, the advantage, you know, of doing it all at once is that it's one message that says this is why we're doing it, here's what's going to happen. It complicates the levy ballot measures a little bit because you have to have a poison pill in the whole levy change, all of the levy change
stuff. If anything fails.
That says if the annexation doesn't happen, this thing doesn't happen.
Right. Right.
Because if the levy doesn't pass and the annexation doesn't pass, you're screwed.
Yes. I mean, that's why
you can't do that.